you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Howdy there. I moved to Austin, Texas several months ago, and I'm still trying to get with it. One thing I learned when moving across country from New York to Texas is that it's hard to fit and pack everything. It's March now, and since moving, I still haven't picked up a single bottle of liquor for the house. But that doesn't mean that I don't enjoy the buzz of a drink or five. So a while back, I began researching the best booze alternatives that make you feel great and don't wreck your body in the process. Alternatives that make me feel great and have an inverse hangover. Instead of waking up feeling drained, I wake up more recovered, as evidenced by my Oura Ring data, feel energized and ready to tackle the day. So the next two episodes are going to be on some of my top booze alternatives. I had experimented with the ingredients in the drink we're discussing today previously, but didn't get anywhere near the same effects or overall experience. It's called Feel Free, and inside is a tonic of ancient plants from the South Pacific and Southeast Asia, where the ingredients have been used both socially and in wellness for centuries. It's a unique and potent blend of the earthy and spicy tones of kava, kratom, and other tropical plants, along with refreshing pineapple juice and premium sweet stevia leaves to take the edge off. This concoction was invented by J.W. Ross, a lifelong innovator and investor in the international business and financial world. JW is based out of Santa Monica, California, and in his free time is an avid yoga practitioner. You'll get more of his bio and background in the episode and how exactly he came to this formula after testing many other ingredients. I've been using this for several months now. For a plant-based productivity boost, I'll sometimes take a half shot of Feel Free in the morning prior to my long workday. It's a nice way to improve motivation, drop into the zone, focus for hours, and connect with others. For social lubrication, to unwind and experience the euphoria of it, I'll take a full shot at night. If this sounds interesting to you, JW is sweetening the deal, giving you a Mind Body Peak Performance listener discount using code URBAN40, saves you 40%. Links to all this will be in the show notes, as will my YouTube review once it comes out. And if you want my full list of alcohol alternatives, just Google healthy booze alternatives, space, outlier, and the list should pop right up. Okay. Sit back, relax, and if you already have a bottle, cheers as we explore the world of Feel Free. Tonight on Mind Body Peak Performance, we're joined by JW Ross. JW is the founder of Botanic Tonics and is well known for their new, maybe not as new, but their drink, Feel Free. JW, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
So far tonight, it's 5:30 over here in Austin. What unusual or non-negotiables have you done for your health and performance?
I would say now one of the things that I'm, you know, very adamant about doing every day is cold plunge at the end of each day.
Interesting. At the end of each day, I feel like these days most people are doing it at the beginning.
Yeah, you know, I've tried it at different times during the day, but it just seems to me, I mean, I do it and then I do a hot bath right after that. And it just it really improves my sleep.
Yeah. That contrast therapy. I find the same that a lot of people talk about the benefits of a warm shower, a warm bath for sleep, 90 minutes or so before. But I found that when I do cold, cold maybe half an hour before, an hour before, anywhere, cold has a much bigger impact, positive impact on my sleep.
Yeah, it's I've tried each one of them by themselves, and I don't get near the benefit as I do doing both of them back to back.
And is that cold plunge in your local lake, or is it in a special device or cold shower?
Actually, it's a good story. I have a hot tub at the house that I never really ever used. It's one in the ground, and it's in a very shady spot. And one day I reached down to see how cold it was and realized that it was extremely cold. It stays at about 49 degrees. So,
wow.
I just started using it. So,
good way to repurpose.
Exactly.
Well, JW, why don't you walk us through the lay of the land, how you got started with this and what you're known for?
The reason I created Feel Free was I was looking for an alcohol substitute. I had stopped drinking about 12 years ago, and my life vastly improved when I stopped drinking because I was consuming way too much. But I just didn't, the one thing that alcohol did for me is it made me feel comfortable in my own skin, allowed me to, interact with other people socially. Whereas I have a hard time doing that without that. So I was living a much better life, but I wasn't really pleased with the way that I just didn't feel comfortable in a lot of social settings. So I set out to try to figure out, something to replace the alcohol that wouldn't come with all the associated downside. And I went, out into the market and tried everything I could find, both legal and illegal. And what I found was that a lot of the illegal stuff did way too much. And I felt limited, much like you would if you had consumed too much alcohol. All the legal stuff didn't do anything, did very little or nothing. So I couldn't find anything that would give me what I was looking for. So then I started, on a quest to make it myself. And, I had been experimenting with different, plant medicines for a long time, starting with kava, almost 40 years ago, about 35 years ago. And I had been introduced to the other active ingredient, kratom, while I was living in Southeast Asia for a couple years. And, I'd tried both of them by themselves, different strains and different amounts, different times a day. And that didn't really do it either. And I was just sitting around one Saturday and said, what if I mixed them together? And the first thing I did is I went online to see, if anybody had done this, or if they're, because I didn't want to do something if there was already someone that had done it, it's bad for you. And I didn't really find anything. So I tried it, it took almost 2 years of experimenting with different strains, different percentages, to come up with the right two that give the effect that Feel Free does. And for me, what it gave me was the same feeling as alcohol does when you're in that perfect zone, which is very hard to hit and not go over.
Yeah.
And what I liked about it was I felt that way, but then I could go in and work out or do a work project, or didn't feel uncomfortable getting in a car. In fact, even felt enhanced, as far as my productivity. And I started, at that point in time, I had no thoughts of actually commercially producing it. It was strictly for my use, but I started sharing it with some friends. And you know, they're like, man, you need to sell this stuff. So that kind of started the process. And then we launched in May of 2000. We started selling it commercially.
Oh. Okay, so you've been selling for a while.
Yeah, we have. It's been, I guess it's, you know, we're in our second year now.
Oh, so May of 2020.
2020, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you said 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah. And both of those ingredients, kava and kratom, as they pronounce it in Asia, or kratom over here in the West, those are both, can be powerful and very beneficial. But then again, it really comes down to the quality of the products, because I know that I tried kava probably about 10 years ago and it was junk. I didn't feel anything. And it wasn't until I tried real kava, real noble grade kava, that all of a sudden I realized, okay, I guess the quality really can impact the experience.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like a lot of things. Just because it's called something doesn't mean it's the same. And again, there's a lot of different strains. It also varies from season to season, depending on the conditions. It varies a lot depending on how it's processed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Probably more so than the base plant material, it's the processing that affects ultimately the sensory, the way that it feels. And especially when you get into, you know, what we've done here in the West, which is we always try to mess with things and, you know, creating high concentration extracts and synthetics and things like that. It's a much different animal than what, you know, we're doing.
Yeah. And it's not like booze where you can get a plastic bottle from your local liquor store and get similar effects, maybe not the same, but close enough to that high-end, like premium grade alcohol.
You know, booze is interesting because booze is highly processed. It's plant-based, but it's extremely highly processed. And they're doing the same thing with kratom and kava. But that's not how, you know, for the last 3,000 years, it's been consumed in the native populations. You know, one of the things I found really interesting, I kind of geek out on some of this stuff, is that you have kana in South Africa, you have coca in Central and South America, you have kava in the Pacific Islands, you have kratom in Southeast Asia, and then you had alcohol in Europe and China. Of all those, alcohol is the outlier because it's highly processed. All the rest of those in their native populations were used without, you know, highly processing them. And if you look, you know, historically, in those societies where they weren't highly processing them, they didn't have, you know, near the issues, social issues or health issues or anything else with consuming those products. And they were using them all for the same thing. They were using them for social lubrication.
Yeah.
For making a long day at work easier. But it was just fascinating to me that, you know, it's easy to see that when you start highly processing something that there's unintended consequences.
Yeah, it's true of the compounds we ingest. It's true of food, you name it. But what made you choose kava and kratom? Why did you experiment those two? I have a kana sitting over my shelf that I still haven't tried, but I'm curious what got you into those two specifically.
You know, I had consumed those, you know, already, but I did try a lot of other things too. It wasn't just these two plants that I was playing with. I also used kana and several other things too. And I just found that these two particular strains of kava and kratom in this percentage was, you know, magic compared to anything else that I'd tried. It's really, you know, it's fascinating because either one of them by themselves don't give you near what they do together.
Yeah. Can you walk me through how that works? Are you familiar with the science behind how kava and kratom interact?
So, you know, they're working on the same receptors in the brain, but they're doing it, you know, with different chemicals, the cobaloctones in kava and the alkaloids in the kratom. The best way I know to describe it is you've got one of them that's more of an upper and one that's more of a downer. And you're kind of floating in between. And that's when you consume it, you get that feeling. It's like, you know, what's also good about that is that, you know, if you're out of balance, if you're too high or too low, mentally, it tries to pull you back into balance. So it creates, and I really hate to use the word because it's abused, it does create an adaptogen.
Yeah.
Because we had people that are taking it because, you know, they're depressed. We have people taking it because they have anxiety and they seem to be having good success with it.
And you can use it for both productivity and recovery. That's not something you usually get out of a compound that also increases social lubrication.
That's what is interesting, because again, the productivity enhancement and focus wasn't what I was looking for. that wasn't the problem I was trying to solve. And it really wasn't, when I first started taking it for quite some time, it wasn't really what, because I was taking larger quantities. That really wasn't what I was, you know, seeing out of it. But then when I started sharing with friends, they were taking smaller quantities. And that's when they started reporting this, you know, just incredible productivity enhancement, whether that be pre-workout or, you know, a work assignment or whatever. And then I kind of changed my usage patterns to doing, you know, half shots. And I started seeing the same thing. And I, you know, probably today, even myself, I'm using it more for productivity enhancement than I am for social lubrication.
Wow. I know that for at least Kratom, that the traditional idea, oh, there you go. And for listeners, he's just taking
a little half shot
right now on the show. But I know for Kratom, the leaf, the vein of the leaf makes a difference. At least it's thought to make a difference. But what you said I want to highlight is that the way it's processed and grown can actually make a bigger difference.
Yes. So we're actually growing some Kratom in Southern Florida. And, you know, I'd always heard a lot of, you know, grumbling around this, you know, white, green, and red, and is that real? But what I can tell you is actually looking at the tree and examining the leaves, you can have all three types of veins on a single tree. You can have leaves that have white veins, green veins, and red veins. From a processing standpoint, from the work that I've done, I can take you know, green vein kratom and expose it to ultraviolet light, sunlight, and very quickly it will turn red. So, and now that said, when it does that, it's changing its chemical composition, and it does change the functionality of it. So I think really more so than anything, that was a marketing play to begin with, so that, you know, have people taking, you know, white in the morning, green at noon, and, you know, red at night, you know, so they have multiple, you know, consumption points during the day. But, you know, it's more about, you know, how it's processed as to what you're going to get out of it, you know, what it's going to look like, and also what the functionality is going to be.
So when you expose that to UV, you're changing the composition of alkaloids and other active ingredients. You're shifting the ratio.
Evidently, yes. And I don't know if it's just the alkaloids or if it's other things that are in there. You know, it does, you can tell the difference in the functionality of it.
Do we know much about the different alkaloids and other active ingredients?
We've just, like a lot of these plant medicines, we're just scratching the surface. Uh-huh. I'm extremely excited because of what's going on. There's this macro shift in the West finally of, you know, embracing what I would call Eastern medicine, going plants first before synthetics. I'm by no means saying that plants are 100% the answer, but I do believe that plants play, you know, in a very important part, and, you know, can do a lot of things. And what we haven't really scratched the surface on, which is what I enjoy, is taking plants from different societies and mixing them together and seeing then what that can do. You know, plants that are been used for thousands of years for the same thing, and, you know, this part of the world versus this part of the world, and mixing them together and making something, you know, even better. It's just, to me, that's fascinating.
Yeah, there's incredible synergies between different plants. I mean, that's how, like, that's what the research shows around ayahuasca. It's only possible because of the interaction of the two plants used to make it, and one of them inhibits the enzymes that break down the DMT in the vine.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I get kind of geeked out on this stuff when I get into it. It's, you know, what we're doing now with the plants that are in Florida is we're looking at, you know, the different conditions that change the, you know, the alkaloid content, the alkaloid ratios. Well, one of the things we found is that's extremely fascinating is that if you introduce a pest, you know, some type of beetle or whatever, or some type of, you know, fungus in the orchard, very quickly plants that are within, you know, that are 50 to 100 yards away will start raising their alkaloid levels. So they're communicating chemically with each other through the air, and they're realizing that there's a threat coming, and they're ready, because that's what they use.
Yeah.
You know, these plants are native. They're from, you know, they're from very humid, hot conditions where there's a lot of, you know, different funguses and bacteria and what have you thriving. And they're using these alkaloids as natural ways of fighting those things off. The other part of that, to me, that's exciting is that when we've done a little bit of testing on this, is that you can use those as natural pesticides versus synthetics, and they work quite well. So very early stages of study around that, but it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, tobacco was one of the original pesticides, and also something you were saying about that, I read a long time ago about how trees would prevent giraffes and other animals from eating their leaves by sending like signals through the mycelium network underneath the ground in the soil. And because of that, you can be hundreds of feet away, but that other plants that have never been exposed to those giraffes or whatever animal it was,
yeah,
would be protected against whatever pests were there because of the chemical message they were instructed to produce.
Yeah. It's just, that to me is, you know, actually verifying that plants can talk to each other.
Yeah.
And warn each other of, you know, dangers coming, and the plants respond to that. That's pretty cool.
It seems like that kava and kratom might be the next wave after cannabis. Cannabis was originally thought to be just be THC, and then, oh, it's THC and CBD, and now we've cataloged over 180 different cannabinoids, and it seems like the next wave of that might be a different plant, and it might be these two plants.
Yeah, I mean, even as of, you know, a few weeks ago, Bloomberg came out with an article basically saying that they think that kratom might be the next, you know, next cannabis as far as an industry, and that private equity, you know, even I got a note from one of the labs we work with at Unilever is wanting to do some work in kratom. Kratom is, you know, it's an incredibly effective plant. And again, we're just scratching the surface on what all it actually can do, especially when you know, start, you know, trying to maximize it. So a lot of work to be done there. It's good to see that, you know, bigger universities and other type organizations are starting to focus on it. But this is all part of this, you know, what I talked about earlier, this macro shift. You know, it started with cannabis, and, you know, then, you know, it's now moving into some of these other things, even like psychedelics. I mean, who would have ever dreamed 10 years ago that you would have, you know, some of these major universities spending millions of dollars working on psychedelics?
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, there's a lot has changed in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm. I actually discovered Kratom back in, must have been 2015 when I was playing rugby, and I got my fair share of bangs and bruises. And when they were too bad and I needed some natural pain relief, I would turn to Kratom, and it worked phenomenally well.
Yeah. You know, in Southeast Asia, its primary use is for workers working out in the field, you know, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. And not only, you know, being able to endure that and have productivity, but also actually enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's incredibly effective for that.
Yeah. So far we've talked mostly about Kratom, but then the other big one is kava, and kava has a whole different set of alkaloids and other active ingredients.
Yeah. The kava is using, kavaloctones, which, you know, are different than the alkaloids. And our drink actually is primarily a kava drink. The ratio of kava to kratom is 10 to 1. So it's primarily a kava front forward drink with a little bit of kratom in it.
Is that a 10 to 1 kava lactones to the alkaloids?
Yes, it is. Yes.
I'm guessing you arrived on that number by lots of testing.
Lots of testing. I, you know, set up a informal lab in my house, and on the weekends would experiment on myself. My wife thought I had lost my mind, but you know, the thing of it is, you know, some of this stuff, when you mix it together, you get, you know, unintended results. It can either make you, you know, too high, too jittery, or it can, you know, make you sleep at time and just kind of knock you out.
Yeah.
It's hard to find that, you know, right balance.
I know that when I came across your site at botanictonics.com, I was impressed that you guys had seemed to penetrate the consumer market pretty well, and you were already working with some big names.
Historically, these plants have lived in the head shop world. What we've done is, you know, but I, you know, they have, because also 99% of them that are in that space are either high concentration extracts or synthetics. It's more about, you know, getting the high than anything else.
Basically the stuff you want to avoid for health and performance purposes.
Exactly. And the way that I like to, you know, describe that to people, it's, that most people can easily grasp, is it's the difference between coca leaves and cocaine. Because and when I say that, it actually is exactly the same, because when you take coca leaves and use, you know, a solvent, usually gasoline, and extract out two alkaloids, you make cocaine. You do the same process with kratom or kava. You take the full plant material. Kratom has about 53 alkaloids. You extract two or three of those out, you create the extract. The problem with that is that, you know, you're able to consume a lot more of those few extracts, and you're not getting all the balance and the benefit of all the other things, which makes it extremely hard for your body to process it.
What are some of the ways Feel Free is being used? We talked about for productivity, for relaxation. People are using it in social situations as an alcohol alternative. How else?
It's interesting, because the majority of the people that I talk to, and I talk to a lot of people because my number's on all the packaging. I literally talk to thousands of people, and most people are using it for both. So they're using it during the day, you know, pre-workout, you know, to keep you know, working, you know, high level performance, and then they're using it later in the day to, you know, let their hair down, or on the weekends. And I've talked to very few people that, you know, especially after they consume it for a while, they're not actually using it for both. And I know that sounds, you know, very, sounds like two totally different things, but, it actually works. The thing about Feel Free versus alcohol is Feel Free is not inebriating. So you get that social lubrication, you know, and euphoria of feeling good, but you're not inebriated. So it's not, you know, that you can't get in a car or whatever else. It's not going to, you know, limit what you're doing. And then, like I said, as you do smaller doses, it becomes much more, it's less euphoric and much more, you know, productivity and focus.
Yeah, I love that it's not intoxicating in the same way, because then you can throw back half a shot or even a full shot, and you don't have to like carve out time in your day and say, okay, I'm going to set aside this whole evening and I'm pretty much going to be MIA. I'm not going to respond to emails. I'm not going to respond to texts. I'm just going to be dead to the world. Instead, you're still functioning.
Yeah, that's what I didn't like about, you know, when I told you about early on, I did the experiment of trying to find, you know, a lot of this stuff, yeah, it would make you feel good, but, you know, you didn't want to get off the couch or you were afraid to go out and get the car or whatever, you know. And, you know, to me, that's, you know, that's not what life's about. I want to be able, you know, I want to be able to not only function, I actually want to function on a higher level.
Yeah.
And still feel good at the same time.
Uh-huh. Have you heard of anyone using it to like deepen their spiritual practices, say meditation?
We actually have some different, you know, meditation centers and wellness centers that are using it, you know, in their practice. We have, you know, several wellness centers that are using it. We talked about the cold plunge earlier, that are using it prior to, you know, different treatments like that. So, you know, people come in, they'll give them, you know, a shot, and then they go in and do their cold plunge or, you know, sauna or lymphatic or whatever. And it just kind of enhances the experience.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. I'll have to give that a shot. How about for like, I know that athletes are using it, and it's also like an official tonic of some of the major universities.
Yeah, that's another thing, you know, that we went through full vetting with several of the major universities, but we currently are the official tonic of USC Athletics, so University of Southern California. We're also the official tonic of University of Texas Athletics, which is a big deal because this is the first time ever that major colleges in the U.S. have embraced, you know, plant medicines like this.
Yeah.
So it's a long ways from Gatorade.
Light years ahead.
Yes. So we're really excited about that. I mean, to me, it's just more evidence of this macro shift and people recognizing that you do have choices.
Yeah. Congrats. Those are big headlines.
Yes, they are.
Have you heard of anyone doing their own self-quantification experiment, like checking how Feel Free impacts their HRV or other biometrics?
We have. One example of that is Trey Hardy, who's a former decathlon Olympic medalist. He reached out to me, and he's been using it. And he's actually done some work with, you know, timing his you know, sprinting speed and stuff. And he's convinced that it, you know, that it enhances his performance.
And is that from a recovery standpoint, or is that, I mean, I guess they go hand in hand, so it doesn't make a difference.
The actual performance itself. So, you know, to be more specific, he said it makes him faster.
So as like a pre-workout.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. How about some of the nuances of like how it works? Like if I drink it right now, how long does it take to hit me? Should I take it on an empty stomach or should I eat first? How does that all work?
So, you know, I took that half a shot, 15 minutes or so ago, and I'm already feeling it. The kava is extremely fast acting. within, you know, just a few minutes of consuming kava, you'll start getting that numbing effect. It's kind of a Novocaine effect, and that's the kava lactones, you know, going to work quickly. As far as the kind of the euphoric rush, that comes within most people within 20 to 30 minutes. And then it normally lasts, you know, for most people between 3 and 5 hours. And it, you know, you just kind of glide off of it. You don't really, can't really tell when you do come off of it. And then the best part is that for most people, they report that they actually sleep better, deeper. I think the evidence of that is we have a lot of people reporting, including myself, that they really have a lot more vivid dreams, which, as you're aware, is, you know, deepest stage of sleep. If I know myself, I don't really remember having dreams to speak. I know we all do all the time, but I don't remember having them that much prior to starting Feel Free. But I have extremely vivid dreams every night. And that's to me, that's just a bonus. Because, you know, dreams can be, you know, can be a lot of fun.
Especially if you learn how to lucid dream. I think I'll have to start quantifying it with my Oura Ring to see if I drop into REM sleep faster or for longer.
Yeah, that would be, let me know, try that, what the results are.
Mm-hmm. I have to address the elephant in the room, but how safe is this? Because these are compounds that you can feel the numbing of the mouth. It's characteristic of kava. If anyone's done it, they know that you actually feel it very quickly. So how safe is it?
So it all gets back to that processing thing that we were talking about. You know, in the native societies, they've been used for over 3,000 years without any things happening, you know, no major health problems, no major societal problems. It's when you start messing with it that you start having the issues. I've done myself early on when I started doing this, you know, first thing I was concerned about was, you know, am I doing something to harm myself? And if I'm going to give it to other people, and, you know, I damn sure don't want to give them something that I wind up finding out later is hurting them. So I did, you know, what I call abusive levels of it. And then I had full blood work done and compared that against my annual blood work just to see if there's any, you know, negative changes in blood chemistry. And I didn't see anything, any changes, no elevated liver enzymes or any of that. I did a step further. I went ahead and consumed some of the synthetics and things that are out there. And very quickly, I saw an elevation in liver enzymes. So I think as long as you prepare it correctly, there's a very, very low chance percentage of, you know, issues that you're going to run into. The other thing that, you know, that people will ask is it addictive? And, you know, my response is, from my experience and watching others, is that anything that makes you feel good is addictive. If that's sugar, caffeine, you know, cheese, whatever it is, if it has a pleasure component to it, it is addictive. To me, that's not the question you should ask yourself. The question you should ask yourself is, if I consume this on a regular basis, is it going to hurt me? And, you know, based on what the research we've done, including, you know, other people that have sent me their blood results, we don't see any negative changes in blood chemistry.
Yeah. That's important. And like you were saying, the blood chemistry, the concern, the hysteria over some of these ingredients and what they could potentially do. was based on, like, I think one or maybe two studies, poorly designed studies with the extracts a very long time ago. Yes. And even, I think it was the World Health Organization came out and said that this study, like these studies weren't properly controlled and done.
Well, there's actually, and there's been quite a bit more science done recently. You know, the American Credit Association did a great job of presenting all the science to the World Health Organization. And when they reviewed all of it in totality, they said, you know, there's, it's not only, you know, we don't think it's, you know, harming anybody. We think that there's a lot of potential here for it to do more, and it needs to be studied more. There needs to be more clinicals done. And, you know, we think it's something that's probably, you know, could potentially be good for society. So that, you know, put a stop to that, the groups are out there that want to, you know, ban it.
What about tolerance? Do you build a tolerance from consuming Feel Free?
You know, it, I'm actually doing less now than what I was when I originally started. And it's because, you know, I've learned how to do it differently, and because I'm really doing it more so for productivity than I am just to, you know, to feel good. There's no science anywhere behind this, but it's been reported that kava actually has a reverse tolerance in some people. Which, if that's real, that would be the only substance probably known to man that's, that has a reverse tolerance. You know, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to exploring more, but, you know, for me, I've been doing it for, you know, almost over 3 years now, and I've not really seen that I've built a tolerance up to it.
Hmm.
And I do it on a daily basis.
Oh, okay. Are there any things you can combine Feel Free with for synergistic effects? Like maybe a natural anxiolytic like L-theanine or the amino acid taurine?
Yes, there's a lot of things that you can stack it with that will enhance the effects of it. Whether that enhancement is just, you know, deepening the effects or the length of time that it lasts. We're actually working on some new formulations or additional versions of this that will have some of those things, you know, stacked with it.
And I think it also would depend on the route you want to go. Like you can go down more of the relaxing alpha wave inducing like productivity, or you can say, I want a little more energy. I want to be stimulated, add something like caffeine. So I guess it would depend.
Correct. On- yeah. It's adding the other, you know, things like what you mentioned. And it's also using different strains of the kava and kratom. When I say different strains, more precisely about how they've been, you know, they've been dried, processed, whether they've been exposed to light or not. So there's, you know, you can create something that's vastly different using the same thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Different alkaloid concentrations. Yeah. I'm sure more as well, but primarily that.
Yeah.
How about any tips to increase the potency? I know that MCT and kava sometimes go side by side.
Yeah. MCT, ketone esters, is one that's very low hanging fruit. A little bit of CBD. It can either be full spectrum isolate, will increase the length of time. There's several others that I can think of, but I think I'll limit my conversation on that because hopefully later this year we'll be releasing some other versions.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you got to keep some trade secrets.
Yeah.
Well, JW, if people are interested in connecting with you, connecting with Botanic Tonics, picking up Feel Free, giving a shot for themselves, how can they find you?
You can order online through our website, botanictonics.com, or you can purchase in stores. We're in about 2,500 stores across the U.S. now and adding about 300 stores per month. You can go to our website and go to the bottom of the web homepage. There's a store locator there. And if you open that up, it'll show you the stores that are closest to you. And then we're also, we're just going live with GoPuff, which is an on-demand service. So in the areas where they have service, you can go on their app and order it in less than 30 minutes. It'll be on your doorstep.
I didn't realize that you could pick this up in physical retailers.
Yeah. And we're in, you know, all different types of venues. So we're in wellness centers, we're in chiropractic offices, we're in convenience stores, grocery stores, restaurants, you know, a lot of different venues.
Mm-hmm. And JW and team have generously set up a MindBody Peak Performance listener discount. If you use the code URBAN40, you save 40%. Is that right? 40%?
Yeah, 40% off.
Very nice. Okay, JW, I have a couple more questions before we start to wind down.
Okay.
How about some teachers that have influenced your work?
I really enjoyed some of the books that Herman Hesse wrote. Siddhartha probably being, you know, the number one. It was a good lesson for me on how to navigate life, and that, you know, life is, you know, there's actually different phases to life, and embracing going from phase to phase and not trying to hold on to a phase, you know, when, you know, that's not where you should be. And that, you know, even if some phases are not, you know, not that pleasant, they serve a purpose. They set you up for, you know, ultimately, you know, this enlightenment journey. So, you know, it's, you know, a lot of people talk about it. It's adversity is not bad. Adversity, you know, if used correctly, can do some very positive things in your life.
Yeah. If you adopt the mindset that you either succeed or you learn, one of the two.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, and what I've seen in some other people, is, you know, adversity will deepen your level of compassion for other people. You have a better understanding of, you know, when other people are having problems, you have a better understanding of, you know, why that can happen. And it doesn't mean the person's bad. It just means that they're dealing with issues. And, you know, it's hard to relate to that if you haven't gone through some of those things yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Let's go on to the rapid fire round now.
Okay.
What's the best purchase of $500 or less you've made?
I'd say I'm a minimalist. I don't own very few things, but probably my favorite possession is my yoga mat.
Ah, that was one you didn't mention in your non-negotiables.
Yeah.
What's one thing that the Botanic Tonics tribe doesn't know about you?
So we get our kava from Vanuatu. And when I say that, most people don't know where Vanuatu is. It's a group of 80 some islands between Fiji and New Zealand. I actually have a second citizenship there.
Really?
And plan on spending more and more time there as time moves forward.
Oh, that's a good fun fact.
Yeah.
Okay, JW, any final thoughts, any things you'd like to leave listeners with if they made it this far?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, if you're like myself, I mean, you're skeptical about, you know, whether something like this, you know, can do what, you know, what we say that it can do. You know, if you've had experiences like I have, that, you know, a lot of things you try don't really do that much. I can tell you that this is a much different experience. I've had virtually no one that's told me that they tried it and within 15 or 20 minutes didn't say, yes, I definitely feel different. You know, the thing is, you just have to try it. And then, you know, once you try it, then you have to figure out, you know, how you apply it to your life. I would say, based off of the feedback we've gotten, probably around 75 to 80% of the people that try it wind up becoming, you know, regular users, consumers. And they also report, you know, that their consumption of caffeine drops down and their consumption of alcohol drops down. So overall, you know, that's the kind of things that, you know, that make me feel good about what we're doing. That I think it's, you know, it's creating, you know, better lives for people. So what I would, you know, say is, you know, give it a try. And our deal is, if, you know, if you don't like it for whatever reason, we'll, you know, refund your money. I don't want anybody to not feel like that they, you know, they got their money's worth. So if you purchase it and don't like it, just let us know. We'll give you a refund.
That's generous. And it sounds like it's extremely easy to get now. You can either get it on their site, or you can find it in any one of many places around you, or maybe even have it delivered to you these days. So
yeah,
it's a powerful thing to test out and see if it works. And if it doesn't, then you'll be in the 20% or less, but no hard feelings either way.
Yeah. I mean, you can't create anything that everybody is going to, because everybody's, you know, has got different body chemistry. But you know, this is one, I think that's, for what I can see, is the adoption rate is extremely high compared to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, JW, thank you for your time tonight. It's been a pleasure hosting you on Mind Body Peak Performance, and I look forward to following your work.
Well, thank you for having me. Really enjoyed it.
My name is Nick Urban, here with JW Ross, signing out from mindbodypeak.com. Have a great week and be an outlier. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/ and then the number of the episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.